Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. Stephen St. John and Marco Marquez in Kansas City in the studio. By the way, do you watch Perry Mason on HBO?
No, I do not.
You'd like it. It's good.
Okay.
It's the second season. It just started. It's very dark. It's very good. I like it a lot. My grandparents used to watch Perry Mason, but it's a very different take on Perry Mason.
It's got Scrubs in it.
So.
Is that, no, that's not Scrubs.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about right now.
I don't know what the hell I'm talking about either. I guess I got to check out this show, though.
You like it.
All right.
We're enjoying it so far. The second season.
I've heard good things about it.
You've heard what?
Good things about it.
Oh, have you? From who?
Yeah. You see people on Twitter talking about how good it is.
I don't believe you.
And now I've heard it from you.
The Royals lost to the Mariners. Now they're only 14-3 in the spring. What the hell is Matt Quatrero doing? Start turning the heat on him. What's happening? We got people all over the country. Nate Buchanan, where are you?
I'm in Denver, Colorado, getting ready to call Invicta FC 52 tonight.
Where are you? Like, what? No. You have a very unique sound to you.
Yes. Well, the Wi-Fi in our hotel is not working right now, and supposedly they have some technicians working on it. So they apparently have worked out a deal with the hotel across the street at the Hyatt Place, where we can use their internet for free. So I'm in the little business room, which is like a little closet right next to the breakfast room, with no doors. So you can hear some maybe some foot traffic, you know, some gnat sounds, as they call it in the business.
Right. What about Mike Boddicker? Mike Boddicker, where are you at right now?
I'm still in Jupiter, Florida. Going to Naples today.
How effing long are you going to be in Florida, by the way?
Forever.
Have you had enough? Are you ready to come back to Kansas City? I mean, going places as much as it. No, I actually hate going places. But, I mean, that's a lengthy trip right there.
Yes, we're here to help my daughter and her three children survive, and two of them are sick. So it's been. And you'd think with the nice weather we've had here that they would get healthy, but no, it's been a challenge. Let me put it that way.
You're down there helping her because your son-in-law is a coach for the St. Louis Cardinals.
That's correct. Yes.
What's he coach?
He's the assistant hitting coach.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Got any insight for Cardinals fans? Anything that you've seen down there you might want to spill the beans on here on the show?
Not really.
Come on.
They've got a good couple of good young pitchers that I've watched some video he had of, and they're pretty high on. So of course, they have good young pitchers. They always do.
Nolan Gorman's been a huge disappointment. Can you give me some intel on him, whether or not I should freeze him for my NL-only team? Can you talk to your son-in-law about that?
And Nate will verify this. Spring training means absolutely nothing.
He was disappointing
last year.
World
Baseball Classic. Oh, yeah. With the World Baseball Classic, dude, all the guys are gone. I mean, you're looking at a bunch of young kids who are trying to find their way through and get excited about having a chance to play a little bit of spring training Major League Baseball and seeing where they're at. But it's still ugly baseball. It's like last night. How many strikeouts did the Royals have? It was fast, but the game was fast, but they still had 11 strikeouts. So same old crap.
They're 14-3, Mike. Come on.
Spring training means nothing.
No, it means something.
We have seen Royals teams have great springs and come up and fall flat in their face. We have to see what happens during the regular season, what's going to take place. And I don't take anything away from spring training. Nothing. Zero.
Nate Eaton went 2-for-3, the stolen base and a ribbon.
Yep, Nate Eaton. That was a nice thing.
I want him on the team. It is significant.
I do too. I said that last year he should be on this team. I mean, I like him as a utility guy moving around. He plays hard. He's kind of a dirt bag, that Mike Moustakas type of a player. And I like that.
Michael Garcia went 1-for-3 of the ribby. He's hitting .364 in the spring with a .545 slug. Can I have him on the team too?
You can have anybody on the team, but spring training means absolutely nothing.
But you hit, if you're asking a kid to try to make the team, that's all he can do is hit well.
That's all he can do. Yeah.
You don't want to go out there and ass or nothing.
No, they all should be doing that. They're trying to find their way through, making a place for themselves and. You see it all over the place. I mean, we're here at the hotel, and we've got some Marlin players staying here, some kids. And one kid, he's a big 6'8 pitcher. I thought, oh, man, this kid, he's spring training the major league team. I figured he might be good. He really didn't talk to anybody. He's just down eating and finally came through and started talking to some people, realized he was he just got cut. Probably go to AA, AAA, he told one of the guys, and he said, yeah. And the guy goes, well, when did you get drafted? He goes, 2016. That's 7 years. And you're going to get sent to AA? Chances are you're probably not going to make it. you see a lot. And this kid he was about 6'7", about 235, and looked strong. I thought, oh, man, I bet you can throw the ball right through a wall. Just probably can't throw it over the plate.
So I brought up some of the players I'd like to see make this roster. Annie Rogers is going to be on the show at 9:30. This lady knows what she's talking about. She's there with the Royals, covering the team for MLB.com. And she put out her projecting the Royals opening day roster.
I read it.
Did you? Well, I like the way you go about your business. And
yeah,
so,
I didn't read Annie's stuff. So,
I had a couple of questions for you. So number one. She had catchers. She had Salvi, MJ Melendez, and Freddie Fermin at catcher. Yep. Melendez, he doesn't catch anymore. He always plays in the outfield, and I don't know that we want to see him catch. So they say three catchers, but that's actually two catchers and an outfielder that used to catch. Okay, first base, Pasquantino, there's no debate there.
Nope.
Then the second base, she has Michael Massey as the starter. Now, that's what I want. But I was going to ask you, when you got two guys like Michael Massey and Nicky Lopez that are battling for a starting spot, and Massey is hitting .364 with three homers for the Royals, but then Nicky Lopez for Team Italy is hitting .500 with seven ribbies, and so they're both performing very well, but they're not in camp together like button heads. How do you judge that?
That's for the Royals to figure out. I mean, I want Massey at second base.
Yeah.
I do. Nicky's a good little player, but over the course of the year, I want to see Massey play all year.
Massey has more power, and even though everyone says, well, Lopez is better defensively, it's not like Massey's a statue out there, because remember, he won the gold glove in the minor leagues, which covers all levels. So he's still a good, he may not be Nicky Lopez, but he's a good defensive second baseman that has a much higher upside bat, and so I'm with you. And also, you know, Massey could be the starting second baseman, and Nicky can be like a super utility guy because he can play second, he can play short, and
that's
he can
right.
play third, and he can play all those positions defensively very well. That's a good guy. You know the kid wants to start, but his bat just doesn't – I don't think his bat is good enough to have him in as an everyday player. But there's value to him being a utility, being able to play all those infield positions, right?
Right, correct. That's exactly where I would have Nicky Lopez. Nicky Lopez, if you told him pick a position on the field and put him there, he could play it well. I don't care where it's at in the field. He's that kind of guy. And that's the kind of guy you like as your utility guy, because guys need days off. It's a gruel. It's a grind all the way through the season. And, I mean, he could be playing three or four games a week, picking spots, picking up guys. I mean, he could play the outfield if he wanted to. I'll guarantee he can play a better outfield than Melendez.
He could do it all. He's versatile.
Yes.
And he could still get, like you said, three or four days a week in the lineup, moving around and giving guys a day off. Nate Bucchetti, do you have any differing opinions of what we talked about so far?
Well, to go back to the baseball classic for a second, I mean, like when you were, I think it's a great question, Stephen, about how you evaluate one guy that's playing in a competition where they're trying to win versus another guy that's playing in a competition where they're not trying to win, which is spring training. But the good thing is, like, to me, you go with track record there. Nicky Lopez has been in the big leagues for, what, 3 years now? And I like Nicky Lopez a lot, but I think that, you know, when you take a look at his 3 year major league resume, it tells you what he is a guy that can play defense, that is a liability at the plate. You know, he's got some bat control, he put together some decent at bats, but he hits for zero power. And if he's not getting on base at like a really high clip, then he really hurts you offensively and in terms of being an everyday player. And I was rooting for him. You know, 2 years ago he had that decent year offensively. And I thought, well, man, if he can, you know, God, this is his fourth year in the big leagues. He's already got 4 years in. This will be his fifth. And his career OPS is .630. So, yeah, I mean, that's got to be Massey's job. I think Nicky Lopez has had almost 1,500 at-bats. He's had over 1,600 plate appearances. That was the old line. Remember, Dayton Moore used to say that's how much you needed to find out who a guy was and for him to get his feet on the ground. And last year he had .227, you know, and had an OPS of .554. It's got to be Massey's job, and Nicky Lopez needs to be a utility guy, and I think he could be a very helpful utility guy.
Is Nate in a bathroom in McDonald's?
I think he is, perhaps.
Don't I sound great?
You sound like you're in a bathroom at McDonald's.
That's
where I pictured you right now.
I'm not sure great is the word that I would choose, but you do sound something. But bathroom, McDonald's, the worst place you could be. So, you know what I mean?
Yep.
All right, moving on. Annie has Hunter Dozier at third base, and I bet just that's what's going to happen. Now, she writes that he's been... Look, got to try to be positive. He's been reworking his swing since the second half of last season, and the results have been good so far in spring. He's also looked better at third base after working with infield coach Jose Alguacil. And so they're going to give him the first crack. And I know, look, it's not what I want. I don't want to see that. I would much rather...
You want Mondesi back.
Right? No, I don't. I don't want him back either. What I would like to see is Nate Eaton get a crack at third base, or I'd like to see the rookie Michael Garcia get a crack at third base. But
they're going to see Garcia there.
They're going to put Dozier out there, and what you hope for is he has a hot month or two, he can play
Trade value?
So, yes. Build some kind of trade value where a team says, yeah, I'll take him from you. But short of that, that's all I can hope for. But I'm resigned to the fact that's what it's going to be. They're not going to allow anyone to beat him out for that spot because they're paying him that money, and they got to find it, and that spot's open for him. I just feel like even if he hits well, man, defensively, it's going to be tough to watch. And I don't know that he's going to perform well enough to hold on to that spot long enough to build any trade value. What do you say, Mike?
I hope that they are right, that he has revamped his swing a little bit, and I hope that he's worked hard at third base to make himself a better third baseman, because guys can do that. I mean, you can work hard enough to be an adequate third baseman. He's got to get rid of that hot, cold swing when it doesn't work. And I think they're going to give him that spot. They said so right off the bat. And we'll see how it pans out. But of course, we're all skeptical about, they say that about everybody. Oh, yeah, we reworked this, and he's worked hard over the – you have to show it. We'll see what it looks like the first few weeks of the season, and we can make an assessment there. I always go on the eye test. We'll see what it looks like.
He apparently, in the Dallas area in the off season, he worked with former Braves hitting coordinator Mike Brumley, who gets a lot of credit for what he did with Austin Riley and Dansby Swanson. They worked on emphasizing his body rotation, Mike, in his swing, rather than letting his hands do all the work. And then he said his goal is to have his bat path finished through the zone, keeping the barrel going in the direction of where the contact is made and the plane of the ball. Is that
correct?
Okay, so that sounds good to you, right?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Okay.
That is how you hit, through the ball. Continue your swing through the ball, not to it and off. And that is totally correct. If that's what they're working on, if he can hit like Riley, we'll be in good shape.
I mean, Austin Riley was one of the best hitting third basemen. If he hits like Riley, then he might go to the playoffs. All right, okay, so shortstop, Bobby Witt Jr., we know that. He's going to get the full crack of that, the full season, see what we can do at shortstop. Got no problems there. But then you get in the outfield, and this is where a bunch of question marks are, because Drew Waters could end up being out for the first month of the regular season. He was going to get the crack at center field. So Andy writes that what we know now is Kyle Isbell will start in center field, and then MJ Melendez is likely to be in the lineup every day, and most of those starts are going to come in the corner outfield. So that's two. After that, the competition is open. Edward Olivares could finally get some everyday at-bats if he stays healthy. You've got Nate Eaton that I'll mention again, who has versatility where he can play in the infield. He can play at third base. He can also play in the outfield. And then they went out and acquired veteran Jackie Bradley Jr. Who would you like to see get the lion's share of the at-bats in the outfield besides Kyle Isbell and MJ Melendez?
Well, shoot. That's a toss-up. I like to see Nate Eaton play all the time and see what he can do.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Like I said, he's a dirtbag. I like how he plays. So, yeah, I'd like to see that. Melinda scares me in left. Isabel's fine. That's our weakness, is our outfield. Pitchers better throw a lot of ground balls, because I don't think they're going to cover a lot of ground and catch a lot of balls.
Well, I'm with you. I mean, Jackie Bradley Jr., Buster said even though he can't really hit, he still is a very, very good defensive outfielder.
He might end up out there because we need somebody to catch the ball.
And that's why I said because of the deficiencies of the other outfielders, do you lean towards him because of his defensive ability?
Yeah, probably. That's if you're looking for to shore up your defense in that outfield, you have to have somebody go out there and get the ball. I mean, to catch it. And reminds me of the old Mets outfield with they'd play their left fielder and right fielder right on the line, let Mookie Wilson go get everything. You need one of those guys if you don't have good defense in your corners.
All right, then at DH, she has Franmil Reyes, which I've said I love that signing. I love the opportunity for him to come in and try to get back to what he was a couple of years ago and to build some trade value. That could be a very good buy low, sell high candidate if he gets hot. I could see a team that needs some pop, trying to trade for him if he has a good first half for the Royals, or he could just help the Royals, and so predominantly he'll be in the lineup as a DH. Speaking of defense, you do not want Franmil Reyes out in the corner outfield spot and his lanky frame out there trying to chase down fly balls. Trust me.
Definitely not. No, we have enough issues out there without putting him out there. Yeah.
All right, before we talk to Mike about pitchers, Nate Buchanan, any final thoughts about the outfielders or what we just talked about?
I hope they don't waste a whole bunch of time with Jackie Bradley Jr. Playing and taking at-bats away from Isbel, Melendez, and Oliveras and Eaton. This year, I don't think any of us think this Royals team is going to compete for the division. If they do, and if they get off to some kind of rip-roaring hot start, and then that's a way to win games and stay in contention, sure. But I think this year is supposed to be a year where we finally get answers to these guys. Instead of sitting them behind middling veterans that aren't going to take the team anywhere, let Isbel play. Let Melendez play. Let Oliveras play. Let Eaton play. And find out exactly what you have by the end of the year. That's what I hope.
I would love Oliveras to play, but he can't stay healthy. That's the problem.
What if they say, we need Jackie Bradley Jr. out there until Drew Waters gets healthy because we got to help our pitchers in some way because this defensive outfield could be god-awful?
I think that's why they went out and got him. It's like an insurance policy. I don't think it was thinking he was going to help this team down the road. It's basically an insurance policy.
All right, let's get to the starting pitchers. Rotation she has right now: Greinke, Brady Singer, Jordan Lyles, Daniel Lynch, and Brad Keller. Any arguments there?
Keller would be my only question mark right now out of the group. He's showing the ball good in the spring. He's got enough time in, and he's shown he can do it. The rest of them's fine. I'm good with the rotation. That's what we have, and that's what we need to go with.
Yesterday, Keller went 2 2/3, 4 hits, 2 runs, 1 walk, a couple of Ks, and his ERA is 4.35.
Yeah.
For the spring. So it's like he's been okay. I don't know. What would your who if it's not Keller?
I don't know. Bubich, if he's you're working on his slider yet, I guess so.
Ryan Yarbrough? I mean,
yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, we're sitting here going, well, yeah, maybe. I don't know. That's not a good sign. That's not a good sign for our starting rotation. So we're going to need a lot of arms in the bullpen.
Okay, so now you get to the bullpen. That they have been getting good reviews out of spring. You've got Scott Barlow, Aroldis Chapman, and Josh Staumont as your back-end relievers. Carlos Hernandez, remember him? He's looked good. Dylan Coleman, Amir Garrett, Josh Taylor, Richard Dick Lovelady has looked good. He's been turning heads in camp. What do you like there out of the bullpen?
I like the back end of it a lot. I mean, you can't go wrong with Barlow. Barlow's a stud. I mean, that's you don't know about Staumont. He can look dynamite. He can look terrible. But stuff-wise, it's great. Chapman, we'll see how that pans out, if they got him fixed or not. But arm-wise, it looks good. They're going to need a lot of those strong arms, and they're going to need a lot of guys throwing strikes. So hopefully that long to middle relief corps can come in and do the job. It's kind of a guessing game. We don't know. You've got to do it to prove it, and these guys have not really proven anything.
Nate Buchanan.
Yeah, I'm with Bot on the bullpen. I Barlow's the guy. We'll see what everybody else brings to the table.
Yeah, he is the guy.
He's also the guy most likely to be traded if you're looking for a wonderful package back.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah, you're going to have to. You could do something, especially if Dozier played well. You could do something big right there.
It'd be a hell of a package right there.
Yep.
You know. You could have Barlow. Please take Dozier. Thank you.
Depends how well he hits. We'll see.
All right, Mike, when are you coming back from Florida so we can get you back in studio?
I will be back Saturday.
Really?
Fly back Saturday. I'll be in studio on Wednesday.
Have you filled out your bracket yet?
No. No, usually either me or my wife do it for our family, and we're gone, so of course nobody has involved us in any of the bracketology, but I heard Utah State's really well, really good.
I knew what, according to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch's article,
they can fill it up.
Yeah, they're the Boston Celtics of the 80s. Unbelievable shooters. Fantastic. Iowa plays Auburn in the 8-9 game in the Midwest region, and if somehow Iowa was able to beat Auburn and then upset Houston, they could be in Kansas City, Mike. So what are your hopes for Iowa?
Did you happen to see their last two games they played?
No.
Wow. No, ain't going to happen.
What about for the people out there that are on the fence with their brackets between Iowa and Auburn in the 8-9 game? Do they at least beat Auburn?
Not after the last two games I watched. No. They couldn't beat anybody. But, I don't know. Heck, it's sports. You don't know.
That's right.
Anything can happen.
Listen,
get hot.
What you need to root for is this could be – it's the Midwest Regional in Kansas City, but it could turn into the Iowa Regional because you could have
Iowa State,
Iowa, Drake, and Iowa State all have a chance to play their way to Kansas City.
That'd be cool, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Which means none of them will make it because it wouldn't be cool.
Exactly.
So.
Not a one.
Well,
I'm hoping Iowa State because they bring a lot of people.
So Iowa State's got to beat Pitt, and then they'd have to beat the winner of Xavier, Kennesaw State. That's not impossible.
That ain't going to happen either. No. Okay. So, never mind.
Well, maybe. Well, Mike, there it is. These Iowa teams got a chance to do something special. We'll see if it happens.
Yeah, that would be fun. They got all three of them have to play better if they're going to have a chance because they haven't been playing very well.
So no Iowa over Auburn. We'll cross that off and we'll circle Auburn in the in our bracket. In our
after watching the last two games, they look terrible. So
all right, Mike, you take care of those grandkids and have a safe trip back to Kansas City, and we'll see you when you get back in studio.
Oh, yeah. I've got a whole list of things, too, when I get back, going over about changing rules. So.
Oh, you want the rules you want to change. Okay, we'll look forward to that.
I got a whole list for you here.
All right.
Yeah. We'll speed up the game.
All right.
He's got it on his Google Docs. That way he can keep updating it wherever he wants to.
No, I've just been dreaming of stuff to make the game faster. Yeah.
You want to toss one out there right now?
I think we need one of those great big clocks. You know how they got the 15-second clocks going around the stadium?
Yeah.
We need a big clock out there in the big screen saying, okay, with the time of game, how long the game has taken, a running clock so we can see. So all the people who want the game over fast, you know, when it gets to 2.5 hours, they can leave.
Wow.
That's what they want, right?
They don't want to be there for 4 hours on a Thursday night. That's
all. I'm just saying, if you're in a big hurry, that's the way to do it. That way you know, because, you know, they're on their phones talking to somebody most of the game, so they don't know how long it's taking.
You got to understand, that's the way I was raised. All right, anytime we go to a ball game, by the time the third inning got there, my dad was already planning the exit route on how we were going to get out and beat traffic. You know how much traffic is going to be? We got to leave by the sixth inning. I said, Dad, Jordan Brett's heading to the seventh inning, please. Let me see him.
Exactly me. If I can make it through 3 to 4 innings, I'm good. I'm gone.
My dad ain't seen me. My dad's never seen the end of a game anywhere, all right? He's always in his car beating traffic. All right, Mike Boddicker, we'll see you in studio next week.
All right, guys.
That's my man Mike Boddicker down in Florida. Back after this on WHB.
Billy Ray was a preacher's son, and when his daddy would visit, he'd come along. When they gathered around and started talking,
Cousin Billy would take me walking out through the backyard, we go walking. Then he look into my eyes. Lord knows to my surprise, the only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. Yes, he was. He was. Yes, he was.
Man, this song is too good to talk over, but I got to do it.
Being good isn't always easy, no matter how hard I try.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Come and tell me everything is all right.
Thank you very much for joining us. The Chiefs signed defensive lineman Charles Omenihu from the San Francisco 49ers to a two-year deal worth $16 million. Could reach $20 million in incentives. They still have some work to do on the defensive line, but that is a good addition. And we've talked, obviously, quite a bit over the last couple of days about the Chiefs' decision to sign Juwan Taylor, who right now they have penciled in as the left tackle. But that could change because he's a right tackle. If they draft a left tackle or if another left tackle becomes available that's at a reasonable cost via trade or who knows, free agency, they could sign him, acquire him, and put Taylor at right tackle and have the most kick-ass offensive line in football, which I would not have any problem with, and just let Patrick Mahomes throw for 6,000 yards. It's funny to me. Anyway, but that left Orlando Brown Jr. out in the cold. And it was kind of cold. It was just windy. It was chilly. Track practice was a little bit chilly last night, Marco.
Did they get through the full practice?
But yeah, but one of the cool things about being a parent at track practice, you can go sit in your car for a little bit. So I know that's probably wasn't the best thing I could do, but I was out there for like half of it.
Setting a good example.
I was out like for 35 minutes of the hour, okay? But this, I saw Nick Jacobs tweet this out. They were discussing Orlando Brown Jr. on ESPN, and Adam Schefter weighed in. I'd like you to, this was on ESPN's NFL Live. Adam Schefter talks about the Orlando Brown Jr. situation.
I think the Chicago Bears make this move. I think it's taking so long, Schefter. You would know more than me because it's going to be a mega deal.
That's not why.
Mm.
That's not why. Essentially, it was a case where I think that Orlando Brown was talking to the Chiefs. A deal didn't get done. The Chiefs moved on with Juwan Taylor, and now Orlando Brown is looking to find a new home. The Bears were in on Mike McGlinchey. Didn't get him. He went to Denver. Chicago would seem to make a lot of sense, but he wants a lot of money. And some teams were thinking in other areas. I don't know if they realize
he's a left tackle. And I don't, he's not a right tackle.
No, the league views him as a right tackle. Really? He wants to be paid as a left tackle. And so I think that also enters into it. There's a whole host of factors here that are playing in. And I'll say this also. If you're a free agent, a top free agent, your deal needs to be agreed to almost always on the first day of free agency.
Money.
If it's not agreed to on the first day, from there, the prices usually begin to slide.
Oh boy!
Well, I did not think they looked at him like that.
Let me throw this in here, guys.
So that's Adam Schefter saying that the league views him as a right tackle that wants to be paid as a left tackle.
Well, at least he has a really experienced agent to help him navigate all that.
Oh boy, I don't think this is going to work out the way he was hoping. And then, I mean, there it is right there. So then Nick Jacobs, and he's a must-follow, by the way, if you're a Chiefs fan, football fan, producer at KSHB 41, and also has been on the show, right? He helps us break down the draft. He tweeted out, reminding people what the reported offer was by the Chiefs to Orlando Brown Jr. last July that he decided he didn't want, right? 6 years, $139 million, but, you know, $95 million over the first 5 years. He was never going to see the $44 million in year six, okay? And that's, you know, it's fun with numbers, right? Yeah, it's $23.16 million average per year. You can go out there and say that you want, you know, you're the guy at left tackle, but it's $18.2 million a year for the first 5 years. Because, again, let me tell you, he was never going to make the $44 million in year six. $31 million signing bonus, $38 million fully guaranteed, $52.25 million in injury guarantees, $95 million over the 5 years. You sketched, it included the $44 million in year six. Not going to happen. So $18.2 million per year in his first five. Compare that to Juwan Taylor. Juwan Taylor got 4 years for $80 million. $18.9 million signing bonus. $40 million guaranteed at signing. $60 million total guarantees. $20 million a year for 4 years. They didn't have to go as long, but that was Orlando Brown's money. And Juwan Taylor said, okay, I'll take it. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Is Orlando Brown Jr. going to get that? Is he going to get that or get close to?
Like it.
I mean, is there a team out there that'll pay him 5 years, $95 million, $31 million signing bonus?
I mean, you never know what another team's going to be willing to pay for somebody. All it takes is one team. But listening to Shefty talk there about how if you don't sign something on day one, your value starts to drop. And probably part of it's because even if you are that team that really does think of Orlando Brown as this great player, if you don't think you got a bid against anybody else, you're not going to just overpay for no reason. So doesn't seem likely.
Or if you view him as a right tackle. Now, and then according to Laura Rutledge, Orlando Brown Jr. is supposed to be on NFL Live today. And so I'm going to go ahead and say that's going to be a must watch, right?
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I mean, remember, he's the one that picked an agent that had never represented anybody in the NFL before.
And it took him a long time.
What kind of advice is he getting?
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well. Marco, do you think he comes close, gets a deal anywhere close to that?
Well, I'm just thinking in my head, trying to go through the teams right now who, one, need, because that's part of the free agent, that's part of free agency, teams overpaying for a desperate need. So I'm trying to think of a team that has a desperate need for a left tackle. And then, you know, a quarterback worth spending that type of money on for a left tackle. So, like, the Bears are the team that comes to mind.
Right.
And really, and we're talking, when I say tackle, I mean the left side specifically, because that's what he's wanting is left tackle type of money. I don't know. What Schefter said there, you saw – We've seen two tackles already. One being a right tackle get a new contract, but we haven't seen Orlando Brown yet. I don't know. I think right now playing for the Chiefs was a blessing and a curse for him. You got the Super Bowl. You got to be a part of a winning organization, but you got exposed a little bit. You took a chance. I'm betting on yourself, and you haven't reaped the benefits from it yet. You could have. You could have.
He did
you didn't.
Bet on himself, but he didn't like the payout. He bet on himself to enough where the Chiefs offered him that deal, and he didn't want it.
If I'm him,
he decided to let it ride.
If I'm him, go. possibly just have to go be out and be the top paid right tackle in the league. Highest paid right tackle in the league.
The Bears would be the team that you keep your eye on.
Yeah.
And that's where all the buzz has been between him and the Bears. And like you said, they got money, they got a young quarterback they want to protect. I mean, that makes sense. But it's just he ain't going to get the money that he thought he was going to get. Which I think that's not a surprise. But to hear Adam Schefter just go on ESPN on NFL Live and say, well, he wants to be paid like a left tackle, but the league views him as a right tackle.
Ouch. And it's different, too, because when the Chiefs got him, you didn't really know. Like, he played a little bit of left tackle, but he was playing in that kind of different offense that the Ravens have. There was this chance for him to come prove that he could be a left tackle, and it sounds like in the 2 years he's had to prove that, what he's really proven to the league is, not really a left tackle.
But he says to the league, I'm quite sure there's some teams that would play him a left tackle. He could be a left tackle. He was an elite, but it wasn't like he was some bumbling fool that, he played well enough to show he's a left tackle. He could be a left tackle in this league, but not an elite top five left tackle like he wants to be paid.
I mean, a proven fact, you can win the Super Bowl with Orlando Brown Jr. as your left tackle. Now, that's with Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback, but you can do it.
And that's one of the reasons why
he can't play there.
Well, one of the reasons why Patrick Mahomes doesn't get sacked as much is Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Well, we'll see if he ends up going on NFL Live. I can't wait to hear what he has to say about all this.
No, what you said there, I can't remember if it was one of you guys said it yesterday or if it was Garrett, or if it was Dieter or Sherm at night.
I said it. I don't know what it was.
No, but what you just said there, basically, I'd heard someone say it yesterday, but I couldn't remember who it was. Damn it, I heard the same thing in the last 24 hours.
What
twice.
Was it? What?
Well, you just said that Orlando Brown benefited from playing with Mahomes. Gosh, that's going to sound so dumb. Benefited from playing with Mahomes. That's everyone. But McKinnon too. It wasn't him necessarily not allow. Damn it. Okay.
They made him look good.
Yeah, they made him look good. There you go.
The Chiefs made him look better than he really is. He could be a solid left tackle in this league. The Chiefs offered to pay him as such, but he views himself as an elite top five left tackle. The Chiefs were unwilling to pay that. And according to Adam Schefter, other teams aren't willing to pay. Because look, hey, a right tackle can get paid in this league. Well, right? So it's not like he's not going to get any kind of offer. He's still young. He's still a good offensive lineman, but he's just the offer that he's searching for apparently isn't there. Because if it was, that's why Schefter alluded to that about getting paid right off the bat, it'd have been done. And there was some rumors out there. Like there one guy that I follow erroneously tweeted out that Orlando Brown Jr. had signed with the Bears and had to retract. Oh, source was wrong. And so maybe there is some talk, there is some buzz there. But I can't wait to see what he signs for and if it comes close to what that reported offer was from the Chiefs last July, and to see what he has to say on NFL Live later if he is on ESPN. We'll have that for you. We'll record that, and we'll play that for you tomorrow. We'll take a break. Let's talk to Gary Lezak after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Did you know that Greenlight Dispensary was voted the number one dispensary in Missouri and the number one loyalty program in Missouri? It doesn't surprise me one bit. If you're looking for the best cannabis experience in Kansas City, go to Greenlight Dispensary and visit them online at greenlightdispensary.com. Did you know that Greenlight Dispensary was voted the number one dispensary in Missouri and the number one loyalty program in Missouri? It doesn't surprise me one bit. If you're looking for the best cannabis experience in Kansas City, go to Greenlight Dispensary and visit them online at greenlightdispensary.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's say hello to Gary Lezak. Hello there, Gary.
Good
What you doing?
I'm reading this article. It's in the Daily Beast. Inside the controversial claim, rocking the weather world.
What is it? What's the controversial claim?
The LRC. We made it to the Daily Beast.
Why, you son of a gun.
Gary Lezak has sold long-range weather prediction to major companies. Some scientists aren't so convinced. Of course they aren't.
The scientists are trying to diminish what you've done?
Well, of course they do, because they're scared to death of it.
Scared to death.
It's the discovery of meteorology. I've been bringing it to you guys right here on this radio station for almost 20 years to Kansas City since I came here in 1992. I discovered it in 1987. Before me, Jerome Nemias discovered something very similar in the 1940s. It's sitting there for everyone to see. But anyway, this article just came out, and I expected this kind of article. You got a counterpoint to what I do, but the counterpoint is not a good counterpoint.
Is it a hit piece?
I would love to sit there and debate it with them. What?
Is it a hit piece on you?
No, it's good. It's good and bad. It's good and bad. It's all right.
Did they talk to you for it? Did they get a quote from you or anything?
Oh, yeah. No, it's a major, complete article interviewing me. But then you got a counterpoint. It's okay. Inside the controversial claim, rocking the weather world. It's a pretty good title.
So who's against you? Give me a name.
Lilja, this guy Lilja. I think I met him at a conference once. He asked me, so Gary, are there any busts? Is it ever wrong? And I'm like, well, the River of Bear above us is cycling regularly. Is the Missouri River ever wrong? It's cycling regularly. Mm. Right? It oscillates back and forth, but go look. The Missouri River is cycling. It's right there in front of you. This is above us. It's harder to see. You can't see the River of Air above us. But when you predict a Minneapolis snowstorm on February 23rd, because there was one 50 days earlier and it's a 50-day cycle, that's amazing. While the Minneapolis storm is hitting Minneapolis, a massive storm's coming into California on January 4th. 50 days later, a massive storm came into California, and we predicted it. Last year, 10 months before Hurricane Ian developed, we predicted a hurricane to hit western Florida, and it did 10 months before. There's value to knowing these things way ahead of time. I actually have some meteorologists go, okay, so you know there's going to be a hurricane 6 months before. So what? So what? Really?
Damn.
Okay, let's not give any warning. Hey, don't worry about it. It might be a tornado at your house, but we're not going to warn you. What are you talking about? These meteorologists out there, they're going to create the controversy because this is real. We're getting it out. But the Daily Beast put an article out there, so I'm a little buzzed. I just read it. You caught me. I just finished reading it.
Do you want me to retweet this thing or not?
It's all you want. I haven't tweeted it out yet. I just woke up. I mean, this time change is driving me crazy.
I can't believe that you're at odds with the scientists now.
I've always been at odds with the other scientists that don't have a clue. Okay?
Right.
There's truth. I mean, the truth is the weather pattern is cycling regularly. And I'm a discoverer. The end of the article. The end of the article. I'll read.
Do you want me to retweet it or not?
What?
Do you want me to retweet it or not?
I don't care. You do whatever you want.
Well, I'm not going to retweet it if you don't like it.
I'll tweet it, but you can retweet it. I haven't tweeted it yet.
But I've seen the tweet from the Daily Beast. Exclusive. Weather 2020, a company founded by retired broadcast meteorologist Gary Lezak that uses a proprietary methodology, claims it is capable of predicting natural disasters and everyday weather up to 10 months in advance.
Retweet it. I'll retweet it. I haven't seen that yet.
No, I'm retweeting. Too late.
So here's what I wrote. See, I wrote, whatever. Retweet it. I can't find it. Thanks.
There.
So, no, it's exciting. I mean, this is the whole thing. As I say at the very end, she put that quote in there, discoverers are usually long dead before they become famous. We're trying to do this because of technology of the day. I hope to not be long dead before this becomes the way to save lives and help the world. It is going to change the face of meteorology. I've been doing it for a long time, and you guys have all been in on it. It's amazing.
All right. Don't back down from these people. Don't let them bully you.
Don't tell us what we've been in on.
Listen, remember, I tried. One of the controversies is that I got it peer-reviewed. And while I'm a chief meteorologist at KSHB, I spent months, a year, writing this article. And it was not easy to do. And I had very big help from this guy, Ishwar Iyer, who helped tremendously with research on it. All right? So I tried to get that published in the main articles, the bulletin of the American Meteorological Society. They rejected it, and they said, "Here, come back to us when you have 100 more years of data." Okay, well, I won't be here.
That's impossible.
I know. That's what they told me. That was the quote. That's what they told me, literally. Jeff Penn was in on that conversation. Anyway.
What did Jeff say?
He's, 100% with us. You know that.
Jeff got you back.
Jeff's still sleeping. I haven't died. Jeff doesn't even know this article's out yet. Today, sunny, beautiful, 65 degrees. It's going to be nice, a little windy. Not as windy as I thought yesterday, but still windy. 30-mile-per-hour winds, maybe 35, maybe up to 40 by the end of the day. It's a little windy. Tomorrow, a powerful cold front's coming through. And rain, a few thunderstorms possible near the front. And there may be a little bit of snow tomorrow evening. So a big change coming our way tomorrow. Yes, predicted 50 days ago. All right? 50 days ago we predicted tomorrow's weather. It's St. Patrick's Day. We thought it'd be cold. It's cold. Okay. Ooh, how could you do that? The LRC. All right, guys. Thank you. I'm going to go read the article again. Have a good day.
That's a very angry and wound up Gary Lezak. We'll be back after this on WHB.